All right, let's take our Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation, chapter 12. I want to pull a statement out of this chapter and speak on it this morning. And I need to read just a few verses, I suppose. We'll begin reading, please, in verse 7 of this chapter. So the book of the Revelation, that's the last book of the Bible. You have the concordance after that. I've never preached out of the concordance, have you? Have you guys? I never have. I'm sure there's a sermon or two there. All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 7, all right? And you follow along as I read the scriptures this morning. In verse 7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. All right, so the devil, as we all know, got kicked out of heaven and prevailed not. Neither was there found place any more in heaven. Now look at verse 9. And the great dragon, notice the descriptive words here, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, now watch this, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, I want to speak to you from that 12th verse, and primarily I want to speak to you from that last line in verse 12, where it says, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I'm going to entitle the sermon this morning, When Satan is at his worst. When Satan is at his worst. You see, John tells us here that the devil, when he was kicked out of heaven, fell to this earth, and he was angry. He had great wrath, not just wrath, great wrath. And he fell to this earth with great wrath because he knew that he has only a short time. You know, when you know the cutoff time is near, you pep things up a little bit, don't you? All right, you kind of get a second wind, so to speak, and you kind of make up your mind that, well, if I'm going to do what I want to do, I'd better get with it here. All right, and so that is the picture that John is painting for us about the devil. He knows that he has but a short time. You say, Pastor, why in the world is our world just continually getting worse? Well, it's because the devil knows that he has but a short time. All right? He knows that his day is coming. You see, folks, the devil can read. And he knows what's in the back of the book. And he knows that there's going to come a day when the Lord Jesus is going to step out on the clouds and the trump of God will sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So you see, he's not going to let us get from salvation to the Lord without a fight. I mean, you're just going to have to put your gloves on and stand toe-to-toe sometimes with your enemy, the devil. He hates you. He hates you. He hates the God that you love. And his desire is, he knows he can't take your eternal soul if you're saved. He knows he can't get your soul. So what he is doing his best to do is to trip you up so that you as a Christian won't be an influence on someone else. So he's not going to let you get from your salvation to heaven to the Lord without a fight. It's just not going to happen. So we need to realize, you know, half of winning a war is understanding your enemy. And we need to understand that what the devil's up to. He's busy because he knows that he just has a short time. All right, let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word. And I pray you'll bless your word to our hearts this morning. Help us to understand what we're about to hear. I pray that you'll help me as I speak, and I pray you'll bless our folks as they listen. And Father, just give us, I pray, victory this morning, realizing that certainly our arch enemy, the devil, does not want anyone to hear this message. I'm going to be telling on him, and so I'm sure that there's going to be some battle going on here this morning. So Father, help me. And I pray that you'll bless our folks as they listen. May nothing deter us from getting what you would have us receive from your word today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I remember several years ago, I think the guy died here recently. Guy had that talk show, Phil Donahue. Who said that? Very good. Yes, that's who it was. Well, he used to be on TV every day, and with a talk show. I think he was one of the original guys that started all that talk show stuff. And he would have different guests on, and always took the antagonist against the truth, and always took the antagonist against right and the Lord and the Bible and the church, and sided with the world in his attack against the things of the Lord. And one day he had this group of religionists on his program. And his question was, I want to ask you folks about Satan, about the devil. Do you believe in a real personal devil? And he couldn't find anybody on that panel that he assembled who agreed with the Bible and said that there was a real personal devil. Now that's sad, isn't it? And let me remind you folks, this was back years ago, like in the early 80s. And he could not find anybody among all those reverends. He could not find anybody who agreed that there was such a thing as a real personal devil. And he asked this one minister, well, I'm not sure that's right. He asked this one reverend, I'm not sure that's right either. He asked this one preacher, well, I know that's not right, good grief. He asked this one professor, that's probably what he was, about the devil and said, what do you think about the devil? And here's what he said. He said, in this enlightened age in which we now live, and everybody likes to think that we're enlightened, don't they? You know, the truth is, if you ever hear somebody say, in this enlightened age, you get ready because stupidity is about to roll out of their mouth. All right? That's about what's about to happen. And so this professor said that, he said, in this enlightened age, we know that there is no such thing as a personal devil. Now, I was sitting on the couch and watching that, and I said, we who? And he didn't hear me, but that's what I thought. We who? He's talking about the enlightened. You see, you and I aren't enlightened. We are blinded. We are deceived. We are being fooled. But this fella said that in this enlightened age, we know that there is no such thing as a personal devil. And so while my blood began to boil, I thought, man, that fella has no idea that he was just used as a tool of the very person that he says does not exist. He was used by the very person. You see, he was a product of the devil's deception in this world. You know, there is a devil, folks. His name is Satan. His name is the devil, Lucifer, the prince of darkness. He is the beast. He is the dragon. I mean, he's got several names that have been given to him in the Bible. And I want you to know that Satan is as real as he can be. And make no mistake about it, Peter said that he walks up and down the aisles of this church seeking whom he may devour. Well, there's a real devil, folks, and we need to be aware of that fact. Now, I think the bottom line is the devil knows time's getting near. And as I said, he can read the back of the book. He knows what's coming. He knows the rapture is next. He knows that following the rapture is going to be a time of tribulation on this earth. 7 years in length, and then he knows that at the end of that 7 years, the eternal Son of the living God is going to return to this earth. He knows that. And he knows that when the Son of God returns to this earth, he is going to take the false prophet and the Antichrist, and he's going to bind them and cast them into the lake of fire. He knows that. You say, well, how does he know that? It's written in the book. Amen. You see, Satan is not like most of the people alive today. Satan does not sit and question what's in the Bible. Right. Now, he just knows it's going to happen. He knows the plan of God, and that's what it is. This is the plan of God, the Bible. And so at the end of that's going to start the millennium, and then the millennium, 1,000 years of peace upon this earth. Can you imagine that? Could you imagine 1,000 years of peace? But that's what the Lord Jesus is going to institute when he comes and defeats the armies of the Antichrist and takes the devil and throws him into the bottomless pit and takes the Antichrist and the beast and chains them and throws them into the lake of fire. So he knows what's happening. And he knows he has but a short time. And that's why he's so busy today, folks. That's why the devil is so busy with trying to deceive mankind, because his goal is to drag as many into hell, which is where he is eventually going to go. You see, at the end of that 1,000 years, the Lord Jesus takes him and casts him into the lake of fire. And he'll be there for all eternity. And he knows that. And so he knows he has but a short time. He doesn't know when the Lord Jesus is coming back, just like you don't know and I don't know. But he knows he's coming back. It's in the book. And there is absolutely no way you're ever going to see the devil and his minions on the Phil Donahue show saying, well, we're just not sure that there's a real devil. You're never going to see that. The devil would never tell the truth, for one thing. He's a liar. Always has been and always will be. And that's what he's trying to do, deceive men. You see, Satan has been fighting against the church and against the Bible and against the gospel and against the Lord Jesus Christ and against the Holy Spirit and against you and against me. The devil has been fighting us at every step of the way, trying to keep us from serving the Lord Jesus. Now, I think that we had better listen to what the Bible has to say about the Lord returning. He knows it, and he knows he's got but a short time. And so that's why he's so busy when the devil is at his worst. Now, first thing I want to show you this morning, there are three, notice this now, three is the number of what? Completion. Oh, you guys are so smart. Three is the number of completion. Three times in the Bible, we hear the voice of the devil. Three times he appears, and we hear what he says. Folks, you listen to what people say, you hear how they think. Right? So here we can look at the voice, that the words that Satan says, and we can get a pretty good idea of what goes on in his head. All right, the first time he speaks is in Genesis chapter 3. And let's go back there real quick. And let me show you the first time that the devil talks and his voice is, his words are recorded. All right, so verse 1, it says, now the serpent, it's Genesis chapter 3. I'm sorry, I'll wait on you. All right, I know what I'm going to say. I'm already there, so I'm not fussing at you. I'm just saying I'll wait on you. You didn't know where I was going until I announced it, but I did. All right, everybody there? All right, no more excuses now, okay? You just stop wherever you are and look intense, all right? Verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, here he's about to speak, all right? He's about to speak. Are you ready to hear what he has to say? Listen to this. Yea, hath God said? Now, what's he doing there? Questioning the word of God. He's questioning the word of God. Now, when God spoke to Adam and Eve, he told them in the second chapter that they were not to eat of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. And so so here Satan says he's lying. He's always questioning the word of God. And he says, yea, hath God said? Well, yes, he did. Yes, thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, well, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the tree of life, or the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. All right, now she exaggerated. Okay? She exaggerated here. The Lord did not tell them, don't touch it. He only said, don't eat from it. And so when Satan questioned the word of God, then that made it a little bit easier for her to come up with an excuse, a reason. Well, he didn't. I mean, you know, he said we couldn't touch it, but he said we couldn't eat it, but he also said we couldn't touch it. No, he didn't say that. Not at all. Not at all. So notice here, folks, this is the devil accusing. Now, don't forget in my text, in verse 10, we read that Satan, the devil, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Day and night. So it's nonstop with the devil. He's always running up to heaven and saying to God, you know that John fella down at church, the open door, you know that John guy? You know, the one that can't keep his mouth shut? You know who I'm talking about? Hey, that's a good one. Come on. You got to give me that one. No? No? Okay. Well, just, you know, I thought he was saved. Well, God said he is saved. He's washed in the blood. Well, now, if he was washed in the blood, he wouldn't be sitting down there hollering insults at the pastor. Well, it gets hot, doesn't it? Yeah. And so then trying to accuse God here and saying that God did not say what God said. Folks, listen, you have a Bible. How many of you know how to read? Would you raise your hand for just a moment? You do, don't you, Gus? You don't know how to read? Oh, okay. I was going to say, that explains a lot, brother. All right, so the point is, folks, listen, you know how to read. Find out what God's word has to say. Amen. Learn it, know it, love it, obey it. Yep. Hide it in your heart so you won't sin against God. Amen. And so the devil appeared, and really, when you think about it, he messed up the best situation that the world has ever known, didn't he? Sure. I mean, Adam and Eve lived in a perfect world. There was no sin. There was no sin. And God walked with man, and man walked with God. And Satan came down and did what? Messed that up. And listen, folks, Satan wants to keep you and me from walking with God. I mean, he'll do whatever it takes to get you not to walk with God. Let me show you something the devil loves to do. The devil knows you. He knows you. He knows what you like. He knows what you don't like. He knows what triggers you. He knows everything about you. And so here's one that is so prevalent. You know what? The devil will come down and he'll show you somebody who's a hypocrite. And boy, you go off. Well, I ain't going to that church. That church got hypocrites in it. Hey, look here. Every church has hypocrites in it. You know what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite is somebody who is not himself on Sunday. Yeah, let that sink in. That's a hypocrite. Somebody who is not himself or herself on Sunday. The devil come along and show you somebody that you thought was, you know, super Christian. And then the devil will show you that super Christian in your mind gossiping to somebody else, and you'll see it. Oh my, your world is shattered. Your world is just shattered. Well, I thought everybody down there loved the Lord. And the next thing you know, the devil's saying, you don't need to go to that church. You don't need to go over there. Bunch of hypocrites over there. Well, folks, there's hypocrites everywhere. Don't go to the bank. Oh, there's hypocrites at the bank. Don't go grocery shopping. Hey, I've been over to We Is. Hypocrites everywhere over there. That's right. You don't want to go over here to the hospital. All right, when you're going down the road in that ambulance and you come to a moment of consciousness and you say to the guys that are girls that are attending you in the back, and where are you taking me? And they say, well, we're going to Carroll County. No, don't go there. Why? Hypocrites. Well, everybody knows there's hypocrites over there. Well, where do you want us to take you? Well, I don't know, but, well, you're bleeding to death here. Make a decision. You see, folks, the devil just shows you stuff that triggers you in the worst way possible. I mean, you'll be coming to church, you know, somewhat regularly, and God speaking to your heart about you trusting Christ as your Savior. And then what happens? Well, you walk in one Sunday, and Pastor Ray walks down the aisle, and he didn't stop to shake your hand. You're awful. You know that. You see the point? Now, it doesn't matter that the man's got 1,000 things on his mind. It doesn't matter to you. All you see is he walked by you and didn't speak. That's the devil, though. That's the devil. He'll tell you that it's too far to drive to that church, the open door. It's just too far to drive. Won't you find a church close by? It's funny how we'll drive to go to a restaurant. We'll drive to go to a ball game. Hello. Second time, I got to move along here. I never will get done. Second one, go over to the book of Job. Job. Or if you're unemployed, the book of Job. You got to be a job in here somewhere, don't you think? All right, look at Job 1. Job 1. Look at verse 6. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said, Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered, here he is, he's about to speak. Pay attention. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, well, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none other like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught, for nothing? Hast not thou made an hedge about him? In other words, Satan says, well, you know, Job's a good man because you put a hedge around him. You put a hedge around him. You're so good to him. I mean, what would happen if you removed that hedge? I mean, if you give me a shot at him, we'll find out how good he is. And so verse 10, he said about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, in other words, withdraw your hand of protection from him, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. In other words, God said, you can't kill him. You can't take his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, folks, listen. Here, what we see is the devil accusing man to God. In Genesis, it was the devil accusing God to man. But now it's the other way around. And folks, listen, in verse 10 of our text, this is why Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. He's been doing this since the beginning, since he was kicked out of heaven. It's what he does. Now, here he comes to the best man, the best servant of the Lord on the earth, and attacks him. And folks, that is exactly what the devil is trying to do today. He wants your testimony. Just as he wanted Job's testimony, the devil wants your testimony. It's just how he operates. And so Satan knows what he's doing. He knows his plan. Listen, folks, we need to understand a couple of things about the devil. Do you realize that Satan is the author of sickness in your life? That's right. Who attacked Job here? God? No. No, it was the devil that attacked him. And all this stuff happened to him. He said, but don't take his life. He gave him a disease that made him suffer. And notice, God did not say, don't take Job's family. Well, the devil took Job's family. That's terrible, isn't it? Man, I mean, Job's own wife walks out and says, Job, what is wrong with you? I mean, our family, our kids are gone. Our grandkids are gone. Everything's gone. Everything we own is gone. Why don't you curse God and die yourself? Wow. Whatever happened to in good times and bad times, and you know, through sickness and health and death do us part. She was working on that death part. Yeah. You see, folks, the devil is the author of sickness. There, you remember 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, where Paul was sent a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Now, I hate to disappoint some of you, but that does not say buffet yourself. All right? It doesn't say buffet yourself. It says buffet. All right? And so here the devil came after Paul with the idea of humbling him, keeping him where he was not so spiritually minded. He was no earthly good. And so again, in 1 Corinthians 5:5, that young man that sinned in the church at Corinth was turned over to the destruction of his flesh, turned over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh. In Luke 13 and verse 16, again, the same principle, the devil is the one who attacks and gives sickness. Folks, why else, think about this, why else would the Bible give so many admonitions for us to pray for the sick? Are we asking God to change his mind? No. No. We're asking God to tell the devil, get away. Get away. That's why we pray. And man, over and over and over and over, the Bible admonishes us to pray. Then one more in Matthew 4. I'm not even scratching the surface of these. I never do anyway. Look at Matthew 4. Matthew 4, this is the temptation. And you'll notice in verse 1, it says, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, all right, so he think about the spiritual high that the Lord Jesus must have been on. 40 days with his Father. 40 days alone with his Father in heaven. 40 days of fasting and fellowshipping with his heavenly Father. My, my, what fellowship that must have been. What victory that must have been. And after the victory, here comes the devil. Here comes the attack. And folks, with everyone, he attacks the Word of God. That's the devil. That's what he did in Genesis with Eve. That's what he did in Job. He just comes after the Word of God and tries to attack the Word of God. He twists Scripture to make it say what he wants it to say instead of what God wants it to say. That's his plan. That's his plan. Now, our text says that the devil is come down. Our text in Revelation, that the devil is come down. Why? Well, he's always worse when he knows that he has but a short time. And he came after the Lord Jesus 3 different times. He came after him 3 times. Attacked his flesh, attacked spirit. He just came at him from every angle, trying to knock him down, trying to ruin him. He knows, but he has but a short time. Now, that leads me to say this. You remember when you were in school and for gym class you had to run the mile? Do they still do that today? I went to school in the wrong era. They still make you run? Okay, good. Well, you remember when you were running that mile and you had it in your mind, okay, well, I got to make it by a certain time. I don't remember what the time limit was, but I got to make it a certain time, and so you started running, all right? And you said, oh, lap 1, lap 2, all right. Well, getting close, and you look down at your watch, and you say, ooh, I got to hurry. So in order to get there as fast as you can, what do? You kick it, right? Remember when you played basketball in high school? Huh? You remember when your team was down by like 6 points and there's like a minute left? And the coach calls a timeout and he puts you in a full court press, all right? And man, I mean, it's chaos. It's just, why? Why? Because you only got a minute left. You're 6 points down. You better do something or you're going to lose the game. And so that last minute is just chaos. You went to a full court press. He put a man-to-man defense on. I mean, he told you to just literally wear your opponent like you would wear an overcoat. I mean, it was down to the wire. And folks, listen, you want to know why television has gotten so rotten like it is today? It's because the devil knows he has but a short time. It's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. Do you want to know why Hollywood movies are so full of nudity and cursing and it says I don't even know how they rate them. What's it say? There's little kids and then there what's the other one? Is it mature? I don't know. But anyway, and it says if you're under 14, you shouldn't watch this. Okay, so I want my 14-year-olds to hear cursing? I mean, I don't mean just cursing. I mean filthy cursing. No, thank you. No, thank you. I remember when I was a kid, my mom found out that The Wizard of Oz was not a good movie. And she threw it away. Mom, what are you doing? She said, well, that's not good. That's not healthy. Are you a good witch or a bad witch? There's no such thing. If you're a witch, you're a bad witch. I said, Mom, it's TV. You know, we weren't saved. I said, Mom, it's television. Mom says, I don't care. I'm not raising no witches and warlocks in my house. She was something. So that's why the devil's so busy, folks. He knows he has but a short time. You see, if he can get his hooks in your child, he'll do it. He'll do it. I've had so many through the years, young people, and they've come and they're, Pastor, I need your help. What's the matter? Well, I've got a filthy mind. Where'd that happen? And I said, well, I was watching this. Yep, that'll do it. That's all it takes us. You see, you light that fire on the inside? That's all you got to do is just light that fire. And then the devil puts those meat hooks in you and he says, come over here. Let me bind you right here. And he'll bind you with your own flesh. He knows what he's doing. Now, folks, here's the most tragic thing, I think, for God's people. Here's the most tragic thing in the Bible. You and I know that we have a short time also. All right, now Satan knows he has but a short time. What's he do? He gets busy. We know that we have a short time, and what do? We stay home on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Hello? Anybody out there? You know it's true, don't you? I mean, he knows that he has a short time, and he just gives his all. We know we have a short time, and we don't even read our Bible during the week. He knows he has but a short time, and he just rears back and says, I'm going to try and do more, and I'm going to try to condemn more lives and ruin more lives. And we know that we have but a short time, and yet we don't think of the Lord Jesus one time during the day. Oh, he never stops. But we don't stop and think about our Savior and living for Him. And the next thing you know, Sunday has rolled around. You've gone a whole week without praying, whole week without reading the Bible, whole week without coming to church. Devil knows he has but a short time and he doesn't stop. We know we have a short time and we resist every convicting moment that the Holy Spirit gives in our lives. My friend, listen, don't neglect the Savior. Amen. Amen. Don't neglect Him. You only got a short time. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come and just thank you so much for the grace and the goodness and the love that you give us. We are so thankful that we have a Bible. We are so thankful that the Bible tells us the truth. And I find it interesting that not once does the devil, when he speaks, not once does he not misquote Scripture. It's just what he does. Father, he believes it's true. That's why he has to misspeak it, because he knows it's true, and he doesn't want anyone to know the truth. So, Father, help us to understand, see what the devil's up to. We all struggle. We all wrestle with the flesh, and we wrestle with the world. But, Father, help us to seek you first and realize that when we do, all these other things will be added to us. Give us a heart to love you and a heart to serve you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.